there. It's Home Healthcare News Managing Editor Bob Holly here, and I'm pleased to welcome you to another episode of HHCN's podcast, Disrupt. In just a few minutes, you'll hear from Healing Hands Healthcare CEO Summer Napier. But first, a word from our sponsor, Home Care Homebase. It's time to give Home Care Homebase another look. The same HCHB solution used by today's leading home health and hospice agencies to drive consistent growth and exceptional patient care is now more affordable than ever. There's never been a better time to take a look at Home Care Homebase. To learn how HCHB can help you scale up efficiency while scaling down costs, visit hchb.com today. Healing Hands Healthcare is a diversified home health provider that operates across the state of Texas. I spoke with co-founder and CEO Summer Napier about the path that took her to launching Healing Hands. We also talked about today's industry challenges and the future of her company. Let's get to it. I'm now joined by the one and only Summer Napier, president and CEO of Healing Hands Healthcare, a Texas-based home health provider. Summer, thank you so much for coming on Disrupt.
Thank you for asking me. I'm excited to spend some time with you today.
So it's been a while since we last caught up. I think we talked for the very first time back in Seattle during NACS annual conference. And then we've had several interviews in between then and now. How have you been?
Great. What about you?
Doing good on my end. I'll have to let our listeners know that we had to push this back a few times because I had quite a doozy of a cold, but I'm feeling good now. So luckily, nobody has to hear my sick voice on this discussion.
Your voice sounds pretty great, so I'm sure they're not even going to miss a beat.
All right. Well, maybe just to start, could you tell our listeners a little bit about your company, Healing Hands Healthcare?
Absolutely. So Healing Hands Healthcare was started by Sarah Pringle and I back in 2016. We since then have grown to cover 22 counties in North Central Texas. We are home health and hospice. We also have a private duty arm. We employ more than 250 individuals in the counties that we serve. And we really just enjoy being a part of the industry. Definitely is our life's work and something that we're extremely passionate about. It just feels like home. So we love it, obviously, because we're, you know, the co-owners of it. But with our retention rate, we also feel like everyone else loves it as well. So we're just very thankful to be in the space, to be able to do what we love every day with people that we thoroughly enjoy. And we just hope to continue doing it for years to come.
I always like to ask founders when I get an opportunity to do so, how'd you decide that you wanted to start a home health business of your own? What was kind of the road that took you to this point?
So I guess the answer to that question first and foremost would be, I started out and Sarah started out as hospital RNs. And we really just found that when we got into nursing, we wanted to take it at a holistic approach. And being inpatient didn't give us really the feeling or the satisfaction that we both wanted in seeing that patient through, you know, their disease process, to helping them get to the end or what we might call the management part, their chronic diseases. And so we really just kind of struggled to walk into a different shift and you have a different patient every time and you never really get to see where that patient ends up. And so we were able to satisfy that niche, that need that we had in patient care by moving into the home health space. And so that's how we made the transition from hospital to home health. And then as far as starting our own, we both worked for a large home health corporation that was, you know, publicly traded. And for us, I have some unpopular opinions, so we'll just go ahead and give that disclosure. It was different for us because sometimes there's great corporations and there's not so great corporations. Sometimes a corporation can just, your values and theirs don't align. And so for us, we just wanted to do it differently because home health is an extremely heavy job. No matter what we did, it just always, they were always asking more from our staff who was giving everything, trying to squeeze more and more out of these people who were pouring out themselves on the daily. And so we really just felt a calling, whatever you call it. For us, it was a calling, a drive to go out and just do it differently. In our opinions, it's better, but that's not everybody else's opinion. But for us, we wanted to do it better for us and differently for the population that we served and the people that we were getting to do it with. So we started Healing Hands based on the fact that it sounds very cliche that we would spend all of our time as a leadership team pouring into the people who are pouring into our patients. And in return, our patients would have a better outcome. And so that's really the core values that Healing Hands was built on, is that we, you know, our mission statement is that we're a healthcare ministry, and we do that by making sure that the people that have chosen to work for us, they feel fully taken care of and they feel fully appreciated, and that they have the things they need to take care of their patients. And in return, it has led to exceptional growth and exceptional patient satisfaction. So we got Healing Hands.
Yeah, no, that's an awesome story. And you can definitely tell how passionate you are about the people who make Healing Hands what it is. Just to, you know, clarify for our listeners. So when was that, when you started Healing Hands? What year did you guys officially get off the ground, up and running?
That was 2016, and it was an event in its own. So we started out in early 2016 with just going out to try to obtain a brand new license. So we get to the point where we get our license, and then it's July of 2016, and they come out with a moratorium for Texas. And so they say, if you haven't had a Medicare certification, you're not getting one. You have to buy a Medicare provider number. And so we were like, okay, this is not great. We've risked our whole life for this, and now here's the moratorium. And so then I would say the higher powers worked. And in that same week, an agency that had been in our area servicing our counties for like 30 years, the initial owner of it had passed away and the children were running it. And in the same week that the moratorium came out, that small agency came up for purchase. And it was basically just a license and a provider number, an asset transaction. And so we were able to take that and never miss a beat with where we were at in the step. And so that sale closed on September 1st of 2016, which happens to be my birthday. So we bought an agency on my 31st birthday. And so, which was yesterday. So yesterday, Healing Hands was 6 years old. And it's been a wild ride, and one that I would do all over again.
Well, I think by the time this episode gets posted, your birthday will have passed. So happy birthday.
Thanks.
Okay. So you got up and running in 2016. You've been around for over 5 years now. Obviously, a lot has happened in the home health industry from 2016 to now. What would you say are some of the key ways that you've seen the industry as a whole change over the past several years?
If I could use one word to describe the industry and the change that I've seen, it would be innovation. And it would also be that we've become a lot more forward thinking. So I obviously have not the years and the experience in the industry that several people who have been in it for 30 years. But I have been in the industry for 12 years. And so over the past 12 years, we've always kind of been trailblazers at Healing Hands and at the agencies that I'm at. But I've also seen other people come along with that. So things that were home health agencies used to just be set in their ways. They used to say, this is what we do. This is the kind of patient we can take. I've really seen the industry progress in the fact that they have really stepped up and said, okay, we've always done these things, but now we're going to do these things. And if we haven't done them, we'll figure it out. And we will look for progression, and we will look for opportunities, and we will show up when people need us. And healthcare is no longer just a brick and mortar issue. It's something that we carry into home-based care, and we're here and we're ready to stand up and take that on.
You and I both know, all of our listeners know, that the home health space is highly competitive. Whether it's your view on, you know, treating your workers with respect and trying to deliver the highest quality care possible, what would you say helps Healing Hands cut through that competition? What sets you apart, your organization apart from your market peers?
Ooh, at the risk of sounding conceited, I'll just say that, to be honest with you, we never think about what our competitors are doing. We never spend our time focusing on what they're bringing to the table or who they've decided to team up with or partner with, because we're just too focused on what we're doing next. So that's honestly one of the things that sets us apart, is that we don't get involved in, you talked about it being competitive. We don't get involved in the ticky-tack. A lot of agencies, one of their I guess, MOs is that they like to say if an agency's winning, they're fraudulent. Or, you know, we kind of feel that when you attack one, you attack all. And so we try to speak highly of our competitors. We try to speak highly of the work that they're doing, because we think that if they have a good name, we have a good name, and vice versa. And so first and foremost is we don't really care what our competitors are doing. We don't think about them. We're not worried about them. I don't even know how many patients they have. I don't know where the referral sources are coming from. We just focus on ourselves. So that's number one. And number two is that we do have really good people, and we try to make sure that they are holistically whole. And so that is different also, because where if you're a large corporation and you have somebody that's going through something and you have a very stringent HR policy process, you don't really have opportunity to take care of them. You know, it's a lot of corporations. It's about productivity, kick out. What can you do for me? What can you do for me? You're here to work. And we really just see it differently. For us, it's more about, hey, how are you today? You may be going through a divorce. Are you able to walk into your patients' homes today and give them everything they need? If not, I might need to give you, you know, a personal day, a paid personal day at that, which is also something that we have the luxury of doing that some corporations do or don't do, is that we have to make sure that before they go into a home, that they are mentally there, that they are holistically there. And sometimes we have to make decisions that may not sound like great business decisions by giving them a personal day or a mental health day and choosing to send somebody else in on that day that we maybe didn't have scheduled or didn't have in the budget, because we know that the outcome of that is far worse if they go in not prepared than if they do go in prepared. So we really focus on that. We focus on what we're doing. We focus on our people. And I believe that's what sets us apart.
Well, I think at this point, our listeners have a fairly good idea of what makes Healing Hands tick. So I want to shift gears a little bit. We're talking on September 2nd, the last day stakeholders could comment publicly on the 2023 home health proposed payment rule was August 16th, I believe. Just curious, did you leave CMS a comment? Because I know that there's been a lot of advocacy and pushback against the proposed payment rule for next year.
Yes, we did leave a comment. I'm a firm believer that if you don't speak up and you don't advocate for yourself, then you really don't have any right to complain. So we did leave a comment. Our director of quality, April Coxon, she's exceptional. She took the time to write a very detailed letter with all of the comments and data that we collected, and she did submit it. And so we did. And I would encourage everybody, if they didn't, to always do that going forward.
Yeah, well, let's get into the proposed rule a little bit. I think all of our listeners know the high level takeaway is that it would cut aggregate home health payments by about 4.2% next year, an estimated $810 million. It would also open up the door to PDGM related clawbacks from CMS and some other permanent downward payment adjustments. If the final rule ends up looking anything close to the proposal, Summer, what would that mean for the industry in your view?
I think that what it will mean is that a lot of the progress that we've made with taking risk, being forward thinking, having a little bit, just a little bit, not a lot of margin for innovation and taking risk and investing in those type of situations, I think we lose that progress that we've made there, because the ability to move forward, such as things like hospital at home or RPM or telehealth, all of the little bit of margin that we have to make sure that we're moving healthcare forward, we lose that. So I think it's important that we continue to fight for it. I don't think that's the only thing that you're going to see. I think you're going to see referral conversion rates go down. I think you're going to see the non-admissions going up due to short staffing. I think that you're going to see a lot of benefits cut to our staff because, again, benefits are expensive and you need benefits to attract and retain staff. So when you're looking at cutting from your bottom line because of these cuts, all of those things are going to play a part of it. So I think that the impact is wide and deep. So
yeah, without a doubt. And I know that innovation piece is something a lot of stakeholders are concerned about. I was just talking to a home health provider who really wanted to, a year ago, invest in a community-based palliative care program. And he was saying that if this proposed rule becomes a reality, they just won't be able to do that because palliative care for many is a loss leader. And you kind of do it because it's the right thing to do, but not necessarily something that if you're a provider, makes you money.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. And that's kind of what I was speaking to about, you know, taking risk and being forward thinking and innovation, because Medicare will say, well, it's not our job to pay. And they're not wrong. They'll say it's not our job to pay for, you know, other payers or for other programs that you want to bring. It's our job to pay for home-based home health care. But it all flows into one, because for him, if he can't bring that palliative care program in to supplement that care, the loss to Medicare is going to be a lot more than the proposed cut that, you know, they're giving us, because now those patients are going to end up in the hospital. They're going to end up in brick and mortar in the referral system, and they're going to get a lot more testing, unnessary testing, duplicate prescriptions, you know, a lot of care that palliative care would have prevented or, you know, reduced because it was a more centralized focused care than them going back into an institutional based care program.
And as CEO of Healing Hands, I'm sure that, you know, you've done the math trying to figure out what the proposed rule could potentially mean for your business. What's that look like next year? You know, what could be the potential impact for Healing Hands in particular?
I guess I'm just going to not share too much, but not share too little, is the fact that we would not lose anybody, but we would have to get extremely lean on some of the things that we are a little bit more generous with. Just the reality of it comes down to charity care. We are a for-profit agency, but we do a lot of charity care with, you know, the profitability that we do have, which is, again, is not a lot. It's not a lot in our industry, but we do give it back. So we're going to have to look at cutting charity care, and we're going to have to look at taking some of the payers that we lose money on, because, you know, in our opinion, it all comes out in the wash. And if you do what's right, you always get, you know, rewarded for it. But we're going to have to make decisions as an agency that we haven't always had to make. So if it's that 26-year-old oncology patient who is unfunded that we've always taken, well, we have the staff and the funds to float that patient. Those are problems and questions that we're thinking about, that we're hoping and praying that, you know, the cut isn't as astringent as it looks to be, because we don't want to have to turn those patients away that we've always accepted because we're just dealing with bare bones.
Well, I think it's clear how you feel about the proposed payment rule, but just to really drive some of these points home, that public comment window did close last month. And for our listeners on the line or tuning in right now, I'll just read a couple of comments from one provider. They wrote in to CMS, "As costs go up, you all continue to hurt patients and physicians with long, slow cuts that do not keep up with inflation. We should be getting a 6% raise for inflation, not a cut." From another individual who wrote a comment to CMS, "To ask providers in the home health sector to treat higher acuity and higher complexity patients with a 6.9% reduction in reimbursement is irresponsible and frankly unethical." And lastly, one final comment here that I'll read. "Penalizing the entire home health industry for assumptions about behavioral changes that have not been identified in isolation from the changes due to the public health emergency will not help patients and may force the industry into the very changes that CMS is concerned about." So I think many people share some of your concerns, Summer.
You're absolutely not wrong. I think everybody feels that way. And I think of it as an industry, we're upset, we're mad, we're ready to fight, as we should be. But also a very unpopular opinion is that the people that have made this decision, they didn't wake up that day and decide, oh, I'm totally going to try to, you know, knock the home health industry, knock their legs out from under them. They didn't wake up and say, you know, I want to make sure that people don't get home health care. The fact is that they were not educated enough in their decisions, and they were not aware of the repercussions of what would come from this cut. So I think that while we're all extremely mad, I think that we have to do better, and we have to do our part of getting out there to talk to those people, having them do ride-alongs, making, you know, our stories personalized to them, finding out how we can make sure that we speak to the heart of the decisions that they're making and help them realize what's going to happen if this goes through. And so I think that while we're mad, and I agree with all of those comments, you probably read our letter, it was similar. I think we have to also understand that we have a government that has limited funds, and we need to do our part to make sure they understand why this is not the place to cut from. There's a lot of places they can cut from. Home healthcare is not it and should not be it. And so I just want to make sure that whoever's listening understands we can't go at this attacking these people in a way that they did this intentionally. No human being would really ever try to say you don't deserve the care that you need. It's just our job to make sure that they know why it's so important and what the repercussions of these decisions will be.
Okay. Well, shifting gears a little bit again, if the Medicare fee-for-service reimbursement landscape isn't as positive as it has been, not to say that it's been overwhelmingly positive of late, but this could be the biggest cut coming in 2023 in a long time. With that in mind, Summer, as you know, the leader of Healing Hands, are you looking to expand further into other potential revenue streams outside of fee-for-service Medicare, whether we're talking about Medicare Advantage or, you know, value-based contracting? How are you kind of thinking along those lines?
Absolutely. Again, that question's twofold. You're a great podcast interviewer because you ask some really good questions. That question's twofold because even with these cuts, a lot of providers, while they're looking to, you know, diversify and they're looking for more opportunities, going the Medicare Advantage rate route is sometimes worse than this cut, because if you're trying to contract with Medicare Advantages and risk-based contracting and all of that, sometimes they're coming in and they're wanting 80% of Medicare rates. So next year, that will be 80% of Medicare rates with the proposed cut. So providers need to be thinking about that when they're going out there trying to diversify, just to make sure that they're not getting in worse than what they already are. But for us, we have joined an ACO. We are not stopping. We are choosing to fight, but also be positive, because we know that even though this might be a small setback, we know that healthcare is coming home. And so we are looking for opportunities, whether it through, just yesterday I was on the phone, I'm doing an interview with a top level at a Medicare Advantage organization. And they were asking, like, how are you reducing cost? And we were talking about the hospital at home program and SNF at home, choose home. And they were very intrigued about it. And so there is a lot of opportunity out there. We just have to know the numbers, and we have to know how to sell it. And we have to know how to show the value in the work that we do. And so we are going to be doing that. We're looking for ACOs, BPCI, hospital at home. We're hoping to get the Choose Home passed. And so to answer your question, yes, we're going forward. We're also looking to, move into new markets. So this hasn't scared us enough to pull out, I'll tell you that.
Well, we have a little under 10 minutes left of this Disrupt episode. For all the listeners here, I'm speaking with Summer Napier, President and CEO of Healing Hands, a home health provider out in Texas. Summer, I definitely don't want this episode to turn into, you know, all doom and gloom. I want to give you a platform to talk about all of the cool, interesting things that you're doing at your company. What else is on your radar as the CEO and leader of Healing Hands? You know, there's so much that we could dive into, from Choose Home, which you mentioned, to workforce issues, to emerging technology, you name it.
Yeah. So one of the big things that we spend a lot of our time on here at Healing Hands is hospital at home programs. We do it two ways. We have an internal program where we kind of piecemeal together all of the disciplines that we need. And then we have it to where we also are a staff organization for a local hospital that uses the CMS without walls waiver. And so that's where we spend a large majority of our time. We're very passionate about it and very innovative there. We love to take risk in that and, you know, Choose Home, the SNF at home models, BPCI. We also have a large interest in oncology. So we have a large oncology program where we try to help manage the symptoms of these precious patients who are receiving treatment. And there's a high risk for them bouncing back into the hospital about 2 or 3 days after they receive either chemo or radiation. And so we have a large opportunity there to come in alongside those oncology patients and their providers and plan appropriately to make sure that we help with that symptom management at home so that they can recover where they want to be. That's something that we're really excited about. We're excited about the home infusion therapy and what's going to come with that. You know, it's a newer model and I don't feel like it's truly come to fruition yet. And so we're looking to, you know, further that along. I mean, we also love the opportunity to provide therapy in the home. I know across the continuum and across the home health spectrum, it has kind of dropped. But therapy is, it's extremely important for these patients, especially, you know, the ones that are able to come home for a couple of weeks, get some home health therapy, and then go to outpatient and return back to, you know, the working world. So those are where we spend most of our time. We're always looking for opportunities. We like to be forward thinking. We don't want to arrive to the scene last. In fact, I want to get there a couple of years before everybody else. So by the time they come, I can kind of teach them the ways, which a lot of times people don't want to take that risk. They don't want to spend time on what's to come. They want to really, you know, do something that they can get reimbursed for. We are not necessarily big in technology because one of the things in home health is that there's really not a ton of reimbursement for it. And that's also an unpopular opinion. We have some exceptional RPM companies in our industry, and I will continue to fight that they get the payment that they need to utilize those services because there's value there. But just being very transparent and entrepreneurial owner is that it's really hard to invest money into something that you can't utilize yeah. or you don't get reimbursement for. So we really try to focus all of our time on our clinical resources, education for our staff, so that when those patients come home, we know how to care for them. And that's where we spend our time.
You know, something that as I was thinking through your response just now, I wanted to ask about is you have a lot of home health leaders thinking about hospital at home, a lot of providers trying to launch hospital at home enablement programs of their own. Going back to when you were talking about your backgrounds and the road that took you to launching your own home health provider, you were an RN in the hospital setting. Do you think that that experience gives you, you know, unique insight? There's not many CEOs who could say that I worked as a registered nurse at a hospital. I know, you know, the types of patients that are in the hospital. I know what it's going to take to deliver care for them in the home setting.
I do think it was valuable. Sarah and I both worked at a hospital overnight as a charge nurse during the night so that we could build healing hands during the day. And I do think it was valuable to see that there's really not much aside from the major issues like stroke, heart attack, and, you know, some high acuity surgeries, things like that, that they do in the hospital that we can't do in home. I mean, if you think about it, if you have a COPD exacerbation and they go to the ER, what are they going to do? They're going to give them fluids. They're going to give them, you know, IV steroids. They're going to give them a breathing treatment. And they're going to do that repeatedly until they recover. Why can't we do that at home? You know, I think that a lot of people get scared to bring high acuity patients home, not realizing that we do these things all day, every day. There's not anything different between me as a nurse here in this patient's home with a good aseptic, you know, filled that they have to go to the ER for. And on top of that, these patients, what breaks our heart is that they can't get there unless they usually go by ambulance or, you know, their daughter who also has a job and a family and kids to raise takes off work, finds somebody to take care of their kids, goes and picks up their parents, takes them to the waiting room. They wait for 2 hours and then they go into the room where they wait another 5 hours and then they may get some fluids and they may get a DEXT shot. We can do all of those things in the home. And I think that when we do those things, we continue to show our value and we continue to show why it's more cost effective for them, for us to treat these patients in the home. So I think that we get sometimes caught up on, because we're a highly regulated field, of things that we can't do when there's so much that we can do. The rules tell us what we have to do, but they don't tell us what we cannot do. We just have to be innovative. We have to think outside of the box. We have to bring those things into the home that they're doing in the ER and on the med-surg floor. And it's easier said than done, but it's super easy transition if you're just willing to say yes.
A fun question that I had here in my script to myself, because I'm a big baseball fan. I don't know if you're a baseball fan, Summer. You got some good teams out in Texas. I know, hopefully you're not a Houston Astros fan because they beat my White Sox in the playoffs last year. But if healing hands were in a 9-inning baseball game, what inning would you say that healing hands is in and why?
Oh, I would say we're just about to throw the first pitch. We're in this for the long game. Like I said, I'm 37 and I plan on doing this work for the rest of my life and taking all of the people with me that that want to be here and do it with me. That's a long time. I have a lot of years left. And so I would say we're in the first inning. I would say that we're looking forward to what's to come. Just like any baseball game, there's going to be a few outs. There's going to be, you know, a few strikeouts. And so we'll take that with a grain of salt. We'll dig our heels in and we will go forward and we will continue to bring healthcare home.
And to wrap up, what are some of the things that our listeners could kind of keep on their radar in related to Healing Hands? You know, what are some of your operational goals over the next 12 months? Are you looking to open up any new locations, launch any new service lines? Kind of give us a sneak peek of what the next year might look like for your business.
Yeah, we operate in all service lines. And so I don't think that we can really add a new service line, but we will always be adding new programs. We will always be growing. We will be going into new markets, looking for, you know, agencies that maybe are ready to exit and that, you know, their culture aligns with ours and their values align with ours. So if there's anyone out there that is looking to, one, either be more innovative or has questions about what we're doing, we're also not, as I said before, competitive. I think we can all win. So if you want to know how to do a hospital at home or you want to know what we're doing in the oncology space, just reach out to us. We're not gatekeepers. I feel like if you win, then we win and the industry wins. And so don't hesitate. We're all friends in this industry, hopefully, or we're in it for the wrong reasons, and we'll be glad to help you out.
All right. Well, I have been speaking with Summer Napier, President and CEO of Healing Hands Healthcare. Summer, thank you so much for joining HHCN on this episode of Disrupt.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Disrupt. For more news and insights on home health, home care, and everything in between, subscribe to our daily or weekly newsletters at homehealthcarenews.com. While you're at it, also check out HHCN Plus, our members-only premium platform. I'm Bob Holly, and this has been a production of Aging Media Network, Chicago, Illinois.